Hey Shepherd, welcome to Digital Worship. I'm Pastor John Carolus, and it's great to be with you as we continue our series, When Shadows Fall, Careful Steps with Jesus Toward the Cross. Now, as you know, Easter is coming up on the calendar, so our steps toward the cross are getting a little bit closer and closer with each passing message. This week we come into Mark chapter 10, and we're just a few passages before the Palm Sunday narrative, the story where Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem on a donkey's back to the praise of crowds and also the conspiring of the rulers, the religious rulers of that time. But in this particular segment, we get this interesting conversation between Jesus and the disciples. And it follows into the Gospel of Mark in a really interesting place because Jesus just gets done telling them about how it's nearly impossible for a wealthy person to enter the kingdom of God. But with God, all things are possible. He had just been in this exchange with this young man who had all kinds of riches, and he had been talking to Jesus about how to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, you got to follow the commandments. The man says he follows them. Then Jesus says, you're so close. All you need to do is sell all your possessions to the poor and then you'll be set. And the man went away sad because he had all kinds of possessions and that seemed like a pretty daunting task. So right after that little exchange, which we can get into another time, the disciples come to Jesus and they're walking along the road on the way to Jericho, on the way to Jerusalem before Palm Sunday. And Jesus is again reminding them what it means that he's the Messiah, what it's going to take for the people to be redeemed, how salvation is going to be worked for the people of God and then for the rest of the world. And that involves predicting his own death. And soon after that final reminder of what's going to happen, James and John, two of Jesus' closer disciples, come to him and say, well, we'd like to ask you something. And so we're going to pick up this narrative from Mark chapter 10 and then talk about the story in a second. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. What is your request? He asked. They replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with? Oh yes, they replied, we are able. Then Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had said, they were indignant. So Jesus called them all together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over the people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. Isn't this an interesting exchange? Two of the disciples come to Jesus asking to be placed in places of honor next to him when the fulfillment of salvation has come into the world, when the kingdom of God is established in its heavenly glory. Can they be the ones that sit closest to the ruling king, Jesus himself? Now, Jesus first says, I'm not sure you understand exactly what you're asking. And this comes right after he had just told them what his whole passion narrative is going to consist of. Do they recognize that they're asking for something that will come at an extremely high price? Drinking the cup of suffering, crucifixion, a death for his own message. Do they understand that he's being baptized in this baptism of suffering? And as people who hold to a more traditional understanding of baptism being this powerful moment between God and his children, and in our Mountain View services this weekend, we'll be having a couple of baptisms as well. Our ears always prick up when Jesus mentions baptism because we want to know what he's talking about. And here he's sort of metaphorically speaking about what it means to be anointed, to be born for this particular task of bringing salvation to his people and carrying that message to all who would hear. It's a baptism of suffering. It's a change in who you are and what your priorities really are compared to what the world would tell you they're supposed to be. And when you live differently, it results in, well, suffering. It results in sometimes rejection, sometimes being ignored, sometimes being mocked, sometimes being punished. And so Jesus is trying to make the disciples aware of what exactly the stakes are for the requests that they're making. And then he goes on to say that for them, for his disciples, for the people that follow Jesus, things are going to be different. Among you, it must be different, he says. It's not like the world where the leaders have the most power and the most privilege and the most riches and the most advantage. It's not like the world where you're just commonly and consistently seeking out your own best interests. No, it's different because the ones that have everything, those that know Jesus, those that have an intimate connection with God, those that have no fears about what this life may hold, those that aren't afraid to walk through the storms and face the difficulties, those that are ready for what all of life can throw at them, what's their role? Their role is to put others before themselves. They're not worried about the things of this life. They're not scared of even the worst to come. Instead, they know that their eternity is secure, and so they're willing to put everyone else first. That's the mark of the Christian life. That's the difference that it makes to be a follower of Jesus. You're putting others first. Whether they're Christian or not, you have to be willing to take that step back and that step below and be a servant leader that follows Jesus' own instructions and Jesus' own footsteps. And yes, that means that your life oftentimes will result in suffering, whether it be because your own friends don't really accept that same spiritual life that you're following, or maybe the world in the society you're a part of is rejecting the values that you hold to because of your King Jesus. But ultimately know that whatever the price it is to follow Jesus, it's worth it, because the reward is an eternity secure, an eternity with an intimate relationship with God that doesn't begin after this life is over, but begins even now in that moment of baptism for us. So this week, as you go through whatever it is this week is going to throw at you, whatever those challenges are that life is facing, and then you're faced with the challenge of, am I going to let my faith get in the way of comfortability on my part, in the way of some of my own convenience? Am I going to put at risk some of maybe the relationships that I enjoy because I'm putting my relationship with Jesus first? And my challenge to you is to let the answer be yes. I will go through what it is that God has put in front of me that others might be made aware of the power, of the joy, of the healing, of the comfort that's there when you're connected with Jesus. Because the comforts of this life can only take you so far. And sure, there's some amazing things that can be done, but ultimately all of them will leave us empty unless we're going to the well that never runs dry, unless we're following the King that never gets lost or dethroned. And then there will be place for each of us in that eternal heavenly feast that the Father has already selected for each one of Jesus' followers, each one of his precious children. I hope that's an encouragement to you as we begin this journey toward Easter in more intensity, with more intentionality. And I hope that as you hear these words from Jesus, your own faith would be strengthened and you'd be made more of a witness through the things that you do and the things that you say each and every single day. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time.